anytime he's kind enough to visit with us for a few minutes, it's a big deal. And we always say it, there's nobody better than Richard Justice, MLB.com, also the MLB Network. And thanks so much, Richard, for joining us again today. It's always an honor for us.
It's an honor for me, too. excuse me. One thing I wanted to say, if I could just promote, tomorrow the MLB Network is going to celebrate Greg Maddux's 54th birthday all day long. It's going to start at 10 o'clock Eastern time in the morning in different Greg Maddux games.
How cool.
Tell you a couple of stories. I'm standing there. Atlanta's going to play the Astros. Greg's going to pitch. And the Astros manager was Jimmy Williams, who had been a third base coach in Atlanta during some of the great years.
Mm-hmm.
During Fungo, Jimmy's hitting ground balls, and he like whistles at me. He goes, come here. He goes, when you get a chance, look over in the other dugout and see what you see. And I looked around, and there was Greg Maddux watching BP. Not too many starting pitchers came out and watched batting practice. The other team take batting practice.
Mm.
But he was watching to see how the Astros, were they going to right field, how they were just messing around. Because batting practice there is a rhythm to it. And I looked, and I went, he's watching BP. And Jimmy Williams goes, there's a reason you win 350 something games. And I'm telling you, like I'm working on a bunch of stories, but the when he was with the Dodgers at the end of his career, they put all the every pitch he had thrown on a database. Now I'm going to tell you this story, and you're not going to believe it.
I already don't believe it.
Yeah, he's looking at the spreadsheet, and he like picks a game like 5 years ago, and like looks at one and looks at a pitch and goes, you know what? I'm pretty sure that was a changeup. Could you mind having the video guy go back and? I mean, that was Greg Maddux. Another thing, he's at the end of his career. The Dodgers were out of contention at the end of the season. They said, "Hey, just take the rest of the season off. You've done enough." And the coaches are meeting like a couple of days later, and Greg comes in and goes, "Hey, and I'd like to get one more start. It's okay." And they went, "Yeah, it's okay." And he leaves, and they went, "What was that about?" And they said, somebody looks up and goes, "Look at the all-time win list. He's tied with Clemens."
Oh.
And so if you look at the all-time win list, he's got one more than the Rocket.
How cool is that?
That's my Greg. I'm on a Greg Maddux hide.
Why wouldn't you be? We have all been going through, what am I going to watch today, mm-hmm. or especially over the weekend or at night or whatever? And you could find way worse things to do than to watch a couple of Greg Maddux.
He's a surgeon.
Games.
Yeah. You can only watch so much horse.
Yeah.
and exactly. Like when you go back to the dugout, you feel like, you know, that he doesn't make me uncomfortable. Nolan Ryan, Bob Gibson, those guys made you uncomfortable. He didn't make you uncomfortable. And you feel like, okay, I'll get him next time.
Right.
Yeah, you're 0-4 with two strikeouts.
Well, and, you know, ever since, I mean, even though he hasn't pitched for a while, there are discussions about him. His name comes up whenever you're talking about great pitchers, and people still don't understand how he did what he did. Because he's not physically imposing. He didn't throw 100 miles an hour. He was just the best at what he did.
Right. He said, in high school, I learned that movement was more important than velocity, and location is more important than velocity, and that changing speeds is more important than velocity. He goes, you have to have velocity to get drafted. But to succeed up here, you got to be able to put your fastball in certain locations, and you got to be able to change speed.
No,
I mean that to me. When I covered the Orioles, they wore T-shirts that said "Work fast, throw strikes, change speeds," and it was sort of considered the graduate school of pitching with Palmer and McGregor,
yeah.
Flanagan, those guys.
Yeah,
and that's what Greg was.
That's awesome.
School of pitching, everyone could learn. But you know, like. I had a guy, I was looking over a guy's shoulder one time during the 88 World Series, and he was typing that Oral Hershiser is not blessed with great talent. And I said, hey, buddy, I'm not telling you what to write. But when you can put your fastball with movement on the outside corner at the knees and it's fading into the other dugout, that's talent.
Yeah,
just like talent is throwing 101.
You look up talent in the dictionary, it's a video of that pitch.
Right, right.
Wow. How cool. Those, what great stories. Up on Twitter today and on MLB.com, here's the all-time best MVP at each position.
It's a pretty good
now,
squad.
First of all, how difficult was it to come up with these? Because I'm looking at the guys that were picked, and I don't even know where you start with this, Richard.
Yeah, like especially like the outfielders. If you look at look at third base. It's Brett in 1980, Schmidt in 1980, and how can you pick between the two?
Right,
Schmidt hit more home runs, but Brett had an edge in, you know, in OPS and a few other things. I mean, it's basically a push. Same thing with the outfield. You look at Carl Yastrzemski's 1967 season, and he didn't even make the honorable mention. It's one of the great seasons ever. You know, Babe Ruth on 1923 wasn't his best season, but it was the only year he won the MVP.
Yeah.
You know, and Mickey Mantle in 56, Willie Mays in 65. I mean, those are who's who. And you think you could easily, Mike Trout could have easily made one of those teams, but it's pretty ridiculous how good some of those guys were. Relief pitchers, there were only four relief pitchers that were MVPs, and so Willie Hernandez was my choice. The guy, I got a note from a guy with the Pirates, and goes, "Are you forgetting Honus Wagner?" And I said, "Honus, he was at his best before there was an MVP trophy."
When did the MVP award come in?
I think it was 1911 is my re-election. Now,
Honus
Wagner was still playing at that time, but those were not his
best years.
No, not yeah. He did. He finished second, third, and fifth in a string of years, but he never won. Ty Cobb won the first one in the American League, and Frank Schulte won the first one in the National League.
Yeah, and it was 1911. That's a good memory. I guess it wouldn't be memory. You just,
I've been so immersed in this stuff, you know. Like it shocks you. Like Walter Johnson won more MVP awards than Babe Ruth. I mean, those are things you would not guess.
Not in a million years.
It's good trivia.
Well, yeah, you don't want to play trivia with Richard Justice.
No, I would not.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through here. Barry Bonds. What's your position? I don't think we've ever talked to you about this. What's your position on the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds and Rose and all of those guys?
Here's my position. You're going to take one of two approaches. You're going to vote for the best players on the ballot, or you're going to try to guess. You can't pick up a ballot now of the last 15 years and say, this guy used steroids and this guy didn't. I know this guy. It's too complicated. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we've put some steroid users in the Hall of Fame, but I'm not going to play a guessing game. If the guy's on the Hall of is on the ballot, I'm going to vote for him. And remember, now if you want to say, well, the morality of it should eliminate the guy, I'm not going to go down that road. But Bonds had 494 home runs before he gained all that muscle.
Yeah.
I would have if it had been close, I would not have taken Bonds. But when you look at his 2001 season, it was just—it's insane.
Yeah. I'm just curious because everybody has a different approach to that.
Right. But in the case of Clemens and Bonds, you look at Clemens' Boston years. That's very nearly a Hall of Fame career, right there.
Oh yeah.
And same thing with Barry before 2000 or whenever he got all the muscle. 2001. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was right at 500 home runs. He was going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have to do what he did, which in some ways would make it worse.
Right. That's what, I mean, I feel it's like, why are you doing? You're one of the best that's ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got players there, you know, that Hall of Famers are not going to like it if Barry and Clemens get in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Sure. The one thing, none of them can look those guys in the eye and say, you weren't good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. You don't belong. They know they belong.
Right, right. He won seven of them, by the way.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds. I mean,
I was on Dan Patrick's show one day, and he said, now, who are you going to vote for Hall of Fame? I said, I hate to say this, but I think since I started voting for the National League Hall of Fame, I've only voted for one guy, and I'm going to vote for him again this year. I mean, I think I've only ever voted for Mike Trout and Barry Bonds. Well, I voted for Alex Bregman last year, but that's another story.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
No comment.
There are things like this that we do. What else are you doing now that we're all waiting, hopefully, for the season to start at some point? It's difficult for us. It must be almost impossible for you.
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, Wednesday is Jackie Robinson Day, the 73rd anniversary.
Yeah.
We're going to blow the heck out of that.
Yeah.
Big stuff. And my piece is why Jackie Robinson still matters. I did an all-time all-rookie of the year team. I did the all-time MVP team. I'm going to do an all-time World Series team.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, David Ortiz and Babe Ruth both make it. And I've been able to write some other stuff, like my first time was ever in a big league clubhouse was August 8th, 1974. And in American history, that's the night Richard Nixon announced his resignation. And I was sent out to a Dallas Times Herald summer intern. I was sent out to do a story on the reaction to Nixon resigning. And I was scared. I was 21 years old. I was scared to death. And that's when I learned that baseball is not like football and other sports. Like, you spend for yourself. They're not going to just bring people out to you. You got to go. I went into the PR guy, Bert Hawkins, who's been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for his work covering the Senators for the Washington Star. And I said, I sure would like to talk to Billy Martin. And he looked at me like, and what am I supposed to do about that? But anyway, I go down to Billy Martin's office. Now, I'm scared to death. And Billy's got a reputation.
Yeah.
He sat me down. He talked and talked and talked. And knew what I wanted to ask, which reminds me of a story of we walk into Earl Weaver's office one time, and he's got a high school reporter in there. He has taken the tape recorder and goes, now you want to ask me about the pitching? Well, we got Boddicker, we got Plant. But anyway, when Billy was finished, he says this. He gets up from behind his desk, and he says, now look, you go out there in that clubhouse, and you talk to Fergie Jenkins, and you talk to Dave Nelson, and he named a third player that I've since forgotten, and don't take any grief off anybody. If you need anything else, come back and see me. If you need me after the game, I'll be right here. I mean, you never, in aiming me toward Fergie and Dave Nelson, he had sent me to two of the famously nice people in the game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when they would be patient with an idiot out there. But I mean, you just never forget something like that.
Well, and
one more Earl Weaver story.
Yeah,
after a bad loss, and we're all like, you know, one of those things. You're looking at your shoes. How do you ask it? You know, and Earl just looks up and goes, "Line us up and shoot us."
There's your headline. Yep.
One time when they were in a 14-42 swoon, Earl holds up the lineup card and goes, this one ought to go to the Hall of Fame with me. How do you mean by that? And he goes, it's the worst bunch of players I've ever put on the field.
I don't, you have, I can't even imagine. I mean, your life is filled with those.
Yeah, we
kinds
need,
of
we need a Richard Justice Hour sometimes.
We
soon.
Do.
Just
yeah,
do
yeah.
Two segments.
We do. All right. As we always say when you join us, you're the absolute best. And I meant that we're honored every time you join us. So, thank you. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you guys. Bye.
Okay.
We say it a lot, but it literally doesn't get any better. Like, those stories.
This was pretty great. On.